Welcome to the World Cafe. Hi, I'm Kaleo. Lyle Lovett is not one to miss the little details. During our interview, he asked about our Zoom profile photos and the genealogy of my name. He can tell you the who, when, and where behind songs he recorded decades ago. That keen perception shows up in his lyrics, too. So, what happens when this meticulously curious musician becomes a father? Well, he makes songs with titles like Pants is Overrated and Pig Meat Man, with that signature Lyle Lovett wit, but through a whole new lens. You'll hear it all over Lovett's new album, 12th of June, named for the birth date of his two young children. Lyle joins us today to talk about starting a family, and he'll reflect on his long and storied career, going back to when he first got signed at the age of 28. Our chat in a moment, but first, a cover of Straighten Up and Fly Right from the new album. It's Lyle Lovett and his large band.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Bobby, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
The buzzer told the monkey, you are choking me. Release your hold, I'll set you free. The monkey looked the buzzer right dead in the eye and said,
your story's touching, but it sounds like a lie.
Straighten up and fly right.
That is Lyle Lovett with Straighten Up and Fly Right, a cover of the Nat King Cole and Irving Mills standard featuring large band member Francine Reed. It's one of the many great moments on 12th of June, Lyle's first studio album in a decade. Lyle Lovett is my guest today. I am Kaleo on the World Cafe. Lyle, so nice to meet. Welcome back to the show.
Kaleo, thanks for having me on. And I've been a fan of World Cafe for years.
Appreciate you being here. 10 years since your last album, and obviously some things have changed. What motivated you to start work on 12th of June?
My previous release, which was called Release Me in 2012, was the last recording I did as part of my original record deal, a deal that I signed back in 1985. And so after that release in 2012, I just took my time really trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, who I might want to be in business with. In the process of that, my family and I got serious about wanting to have a family and have children. And so that became a real focus. Ever since my first record came out in 1986, I've played 100 plus dates a year. That didn't change. So even though there was a gap between records, there was really no gap in the schedule. Getting to record after several years was just a lot of fun. I mean, performing in the recording studio has the thrill of playing live, but with the added aspect of doing something once that becomes the permanent record. And it's a real privilege to step up to the plate.
Yeah. And there's a lot about recording in Nashville I want to get to a little bit later on in the interview. But thinking about, you mentioned the change, leaving MCA, having that record deal last 30 years, but also a big thing and something that, really spoke to me, connected the dots for me listening to the record was you getting serious, as you said, about starting a family and getting married and having kids. And, I know a songwriter's the scope is they write about what they see, what they know. Getting married, having children, alters the trajectory of what you know in a big way, I would imagine. How did that affect what songs you ended up writing or your process as a songwriter?
Your point about songwriters writing about what's in front of them, I don't know how other songwriters work, but that's certainly how I work. I mean, I can... my songs are reactions to the world around me, really, and thinking about having children, and then actually having children was a great source of inspiration. I mean, miraculous, really. I found myself making up songs just to sing to them in the moment, based on what was happening, and some of those little rhymes that I would sing to them just off the top of my head turned into some of these songs on the record.
Yeah, and we'll talk about a few of those, including one about pants. I'm assuming, I don't want to, that might be one of the serious heartfelt ones, but I have a sneaking suspicion it might involve your children. And I'm wondering, did these batch of songs, did most of these songs come after your children were born?
A couple of the songs came in anticipation, but they pretty much all had to do with, the idea of their being born, but several of them came after. You know, the song you mentioned, "Pants Is Overrated," really came from out of a struggle to get them dressed one day, and as they refused to. Well, refused their pants. I just considered the possibility that maybe they were right and I was wrong. Maybe they were right about the whole thing.
Yeah. We're talking to Lyle Lovett here on World Cafe. Let's take a listen to a song that captured my imagination the first time I heard it, and it was so fun to dive deeper with it. This is "Pants Is Overrated." It's Lyle Lovett on the World Cafe.
For the nighttime, it's barely breezing. Well, it was cold, but not quite freezing. So I looked around to find my trousers. And this voice inside my head grew louder. Pants is overrated, pants is overrated, pants is overrated. Yes, yes, pants is overrated, pants is overrated, pants is overrated. Yes, 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 yes.
That's "Pants Is Overrated." It's from Lyle Lovett here on the World Cafe. The new album is called 12th of June. So, as mentioned, the album released last month, but a lot of it getting started, going into the studio in Nashville in the fall of 2019. Was there any reason in particular you decided to record at Soundstage Studios in Nashville? Was there a certain energy that you were looking for there?
Yes, there was a certain energy I was looking for there. That's where my co-producer and engineer, Chuck Ainley, lives. It's Nashville. It coincidentally was the same room that he engineered my third record. We recorded that record there in 1988. So it was getting to work with Chuck again after all those years and getting to record in a place I'd recorded two of my previous albums was, you know, again, like coming home. The whole large band was in the studio, and we were sectioned off as best as we could. The horn section ended up setting them up, miking them up in the kitchen of the recording studio because there wasn't room in the actual recording room. So we had wires going everywhere and people in every nook and cranny of the studio, and the songs were recorded, you know, basically as live performances.
Are you the type of person who enjoys solving the puzzle of how to get 15 people with 15 different parts being recorded in a room? Because it sounds like it strikes me as you would be the type of person who would like overseeing that type of operation.
Well, conceptually, I like the idea of smart and talented people in a room together and hearing them react to one another. And you can that can only happen when you play. When you play together, I mean, it can only happen to the degree that I'm looking for when you're playing together. I hear them react to one another. I hear the conversations they have with one another throughout the show, the musical conversations, and that's something that, well, you know, delights me every night and feels alive to me every night.
Yeah. It sounds like it's almost by design that you wouldn't want to go into the studio to record an album with everything, with every note in its place. It feels almost like it would have to be a sketch because you don't know exactly what you're going to get, what the best is going to be when you first walk in there because musicians are working it out.
That's absolutely the case. I mean, solos are never written out. And in most recordings, you know, you bring in great players and allow them to improvise and to bring their talent and their skill, their ability to react to what to the song you've put in front of them.
Yeah. We're talking with Lyle Lovett about his new album, 12th of June, here on the World Cafe. Talking about the large band, I want you to hear another performance from the record, a duet featuring Francine Reed. This is G-Baby, Ain't I Good to You, here on the World Cafe.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. G-Baby, ain't I good to you?
There's nothing in this world too good for a girl so good and true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
I bought you a fur coat for Christmas,
a diamond ring,
big Cadillac car,
and everything.
That's a cover of G-Baby, Ain't I Good to You from Lyle Lovett and featuring longtime large band member Francine Reed singing alongside Lyle. You're listening to The World Cafe. I am Kaleo and Lyle Lovett is my guest. The new album is 12th of June. So we just heard Francine Reed. She sings on a handful of duets throughout the record. And I know that she's going to be winding down her time on the road in the large band. And for people who don't know her work, but she's been such a longtime member and collaborator of yours, tell us about her as a performer.
In 1984, when we were recording demos in a little studio in Scottsdale, Arizona, Matt Rawlings said, "Oh, you've got to come here. This lady I'm playing with this weekend, she's terrific." And so I went, and I walked into Chewy's in Tempe, Arizona. And Francine Reed was singing her signature song, Wild Women Don't Get the Blues. And I talked to her after her set, introduced myself, and told her we were doing some demos and that I had a song, a duet, that I thought would be perfect for her to sing, and asked her if she'd do it. And she agreed to it. And from 1984 on, Francine Reed and I have sung together. The reason we recorded the standards on this record is we had been performing those live the last couple of tours, so I wanted the folks who'd come to those shows to be able to have recordings of those arrangements we had done live, so that was the idea, and also just to be able to feature Francine in a way that just showed how important she is to the band and me and how much we love her.
Well, I think it's fantastic that you featured her on those duets on the album. It was a discovery for me, and I'm sure for some longtime fans, it'll be nice to know the story behind the singer and what you're hearing on the new album, 12th of June. It's The World Cafe. Lyle Lovett is my guest. The new album is 12th of June. It's worth mentioning to our audience, you were signed and you released your debut album at the age of 30 after playing for years and establishing yourself in the Texas music scene.
28.
Decades later, did you see any benefit to incubating, spending a few extra years on the scene before getting signed? Do you think that affected your career?
It was not, none of that was by design. It was not, I didn't think when I was 22, I think I'll wait a while. It just took me that long to learn about the business and to figure out the business and to your point, I thought, gosh, you know, this will never work. I'm too old. At 28, I thought to myself, for this to be my first record, you know, this may be my only chance. Mm-hmm. It was always, you know, a bit of a confusion since those first records came out of Nashville, where in a record store, when there were record stores, where in a record store my record would be. I mean, I was either next to Patti Loveless in the country section or Loverboy in the pop and rock section. So it was, you know, you kind of had to look both places. But I'm grateful that they MCA treated that in between categories quality of my music as a strength rather than as a weakness, you know, a feature rather than a flaw, and stuck with me all those years. My first trip to Nashville in the summer of 1984 I was 26 years old, and I went to Nashville at the invitation of my friend Nancy Griffith, who had asked me to sing a harmony vocal on a recording she was making, and I thought, well, as long as I'm going to Nashville, I may as well try to find something out about the business, try to learn about the business, because I had gotten to a point in my life at 26 years old, being through school, playing the same 6 or 8 music venues around Texas every couple of months. I'd gotten to the point where I thought, gosh, I really need to try to learn something about the business, learn enough to see if this could be a real job, you know, or figure out what kind of real job I should really get.
We're talking to Lyle Lovett here on The World Cafe. The new album is available now. It is 12th of June. I want to end with Her Loving Man. Tell me about writing Her Loving Man.
Well, Her Loving Man is, you know, is a song about relationships and how at the end of the day, anyone in a supportive, loving relationship realizes, I think, how lucky he or she is. And that's, you know, that's what it is. I mean, and, you know, it's intended to be humorous. It's, you know, humorous and serious at the same time.
Let's take a listen to it. Her Loving Man, it's Lyle Lovett.
She's the queen of no. K-N-O-W. Wherever I go, she knows what I need. Through sunshine and snow, she understands. She's the queen of knowing. I'm her loving man.
You can find that song on Lyle Lovett's new album, which is available now. 12th of June is the record, the song, Her Loving Man. Lyle, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk. Thank you so much for sharing some of the stories behind the album, and we look forward to seeing you out on the road this summer and beyond.
Cleo, thanks for having me on. Y'all keep up your great work with World Cafe. We'll keep listening.
That is my guest, Lyle Lovett. His new album, 12th of June, is available now. And if you want to dive into the archives, we've got a great session with Lyle Lovett, joined by Steve Earle from 2010. You can find that session at worldcafe.org. We're back in a moment with more World Cafe.